SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh my goodness. Welcome in. What a Friday we have for you here on the early line on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Wallstrom, joined by Donnie Wrightside. 2 hours, not even close to enough, DRS.
I don't think there is. And by the way, Kevin, as you would like to say, if 2 hours isn't enough, should we go into business for ourselves on an extended edition of the early line?
Listen, we put our working boots on, and that's a big. All right, let's break it in real quick. That is a big thing in wrestling when you go over your time, and then you get heat in the back because you didn't leave the other guy's time for their match. Yes, so we might just have to work through the time cues and just listen. The house is hot, and we got to give the people what they want. I'll tell you one house that was hot last night: the Barclays Center. What was going on last night in Net Sixers? A win for Philly. 102-97. In very perfect fashion, this game was kind of decided on a DeAnthony Melton dunk backdoor cover. Tough pill to swallow for Nets backers on the 4.5. Joel Embiid probably should have been ejected. Nick Claxton double techs was ejected. James Harden later in the game was ejected. The whole thing was madness, and Philly has a 3-0 series lead.
Yeah, it was. It was an ugly game overall, which is why you got a 102-97 game. But now it seems like we're going to be on like ejection watch the entire way, not just for this series, but across the NBA. And let's be honest with ourselves, because sometimes we take things out of context with what actually happened between Draymond Green and what you saw in the Sixers game. There are levels to this thing. And now every time a hard foul comes out, people are expecting a flagrant and an ejection. Let's hope it simmers and settles down in the NBA.
Interesting take. We'll talk about that in a little bit, because Joel Embiid's game four status is not a guarantee. I think is fair to say. It is not a guarantee. Golden State and Sacramento. You know what? Shout out to the Warriors. I think you and I kind of started to think about this during the regular season. They actually are awesome, because they make life easy for us. Hey, where's the game? On the road? Oh, they're going to lose. Hey, where's the game? At home? Yeah, they're going to win. And that's what they did last night. 114-97. They led by as many as 23 in this game. Sacramento at no point enjoyed a lead in this basketball game as the Warriors grabbed their first one of the series.
A word on the street, too. Behind the scenes, the Golden State Warriors ownership group, front office, and Steve Kerr petitioning the NBA to make sure Draymond Green really learns his lesson and sits out game four, because they were fluid on offense. They played extremely well. And it just goes to show you that team, as you said, Kevin, is dominant on their home court. We came on yesterday. Donnie, what's the breakdown of this game? Warriors going to blow the doors off the Kings here. Don't worry about it. There you go.
It's true. Steph was, by the way, incredible in this basketball game. 36 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists overall, 6 made threes, as you would expect here, as the Warriors rolled in this basketball game. And then there's the Clippers and the Suns. So 129. Let's just say you watched the early line yesterday, right? And you've not consumed any sports until right now. 129-124 Phoenix wins. You go, oh man, that sounds like a really good game. What if I told you Phoenix didn't cover? You'd be a little confused. We were breaking down a 2.5-point spread yesterday. Well, this game actually ended up closing 7.5 because Kawhi didn't play with a knee strain. And we'll get into it all. Nobody knows what Kawhi's status is for game four. The radio audience is here on a Friday morning. The early line, SiriusXM channel 159. And now you have to kind of juggle the fact that, hey, Kawhi is out, and the Suns, Donnie, can't pull away from this team at all, no matter who's on the court.
We always know when the radio comes in, Kevin. We never know when Kawhi Leonard wants to announce if he's going to play in a basketball game or not. You've got to be kidding me. And also, Kevin, late in the afternoon, like, I saw that news come across, and I was shocked. Why? Why don't we ever hear about this? Hey, Kawhi had to get extra treatment. Was Kawhi even in the building last night, or did he just stay in Phoenix? Like, we don't even know that, probably.
So if you watched the game,
I didn't. Was he in like a suite in Phoenix that they made it seem like he was actually at the game? Like, what did they do?
Yeah, apparently he actually likes this team because he was on the bench and they showed him a bunch throughout the game. But obviously, I get the chuckle, and I'm not even taking a shot. I know it's late.
I mean, do we even know? We don't know.
I'll tell you, AI is beating my brain up recently. I can't tell if Drake released new music or not. It's giving me a headache here. Let's talk about Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer suspended for 10 games. And he will not appeal the suspension either. Not an admittance of guilt, though, according to Mets sources. It's just Scherzer doesn't think he's going to win it, and he wants to make sure he's going to be able to be back out there as soon as possible for his guys.
Yeah, people stick around here. Here's what a tease is. This is a hot topic right now, and I'm not going to burn through it here, but I have a lot of thoughts on Max Scherzer about what he was saying and what the umpires were actually reporting. We're going to have some fun a little bit later in the show, K-Dub. We are.
Very exciting. Good tease. Fernando Tatis Jr. last night came back his first game of the season. He was 0 for 5 in the leadoff spot. Oh, I mean, are you surprised they let off with Tatis Jr.?
They wanted to get the party started and gets the 0 for 5. Some people, K-Dub, about this saying, look a little bit leaner out there on the field for some reason. I don't know if that's the truth, but I know my timeline is saying that there.
But many people have been saying that about me as well. Which is a great take by them.
Man.
Rangers last night rolled. Toronto had a huge win over Tampa Bay. The Kraken almost upset Colorado again. The ice was rolling.
Please get to these
and then the Arizona Cardinals got themselves new uniforms. Okay. We'll get to them later, I promise. We'll get to them later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. This is the Early Line on a Friday morning. I want to remind everybody before we get into it that the Sports Grid app is now live on the Apple Store. Make sure you head over there, download it, customize the feed, follow along your favorite sports, your favorite hosts, all of the information you need, pick and prop projections as well available in the app. Go over to the Apple Store and download that, and then go to sportsgrid.com/watch and find all the places that you can get on the grid. Sixers Nets is where we begin. And if you're with us on the television side, you see that top banner reads, "What happened in Nets Sixers?" And that is not just a normal, hey, what happened last night? What in the world happened in this basketball game? The Philadelphia 76ers are up 3-0, and that, of course, is a massive deal and now means the Sixers are all but a guarantee to win this series. No team has ever come back from down 3-0 in any round in the history of the NBA playoffs. But there were ejections. There were no ejections. There were a lot of questions asked about this game. I want to start this with the most important one, which is the Joel Embiid play. Early in this basketball game, Nick Claxton steps over Embiid. Embiid throws his leg up. Now, I'll give you my end of it. I thought Embiid threw his leg up to remove Claxton. I don't think his actual intention was to deliver a full low blow, which is exactly kind of what it looks like there. However, stunning that Embiid wasn't thrown out of the game on that play. And now a lot of people are going to ask, what's his game four status going to be? Before we get to game four, are you surprised Embiid wasn't thrown out of the game for the kick to Nick Claxton?
Not surprised at all. I think the refs actually got it exactly correct. You had a taunt which caused a reaction, and also a player, Kevin, not in a dominant position. Now, what I mean by that is, if you equate it to Draymond, which it's not even close, the two things, I thought they correctly called the Draymond decision with the stomp on the chest. You had a player in a fetal position, basically, getting blasted from a guy full top going with a stomp down. With Joel Embiid, it was one of those reactionary moves. This is why we talk about the Draymond Green thing as reactionary or not, as we joked about yesterday, you know, curb stomping, let's just say, a puppy and a kid, as opposed to just getting out of the way like you're supposed to do that. I think Joel Embiid's response was, this guy is walking over, get off me, let me try to kick him away. Barely made any contact. My favorite part of the play maybe was Claxton actually fell down from that. I don't even know how that was actually possible. How is that even possible? Like, if you did that to me, I'd be like, hey, man, what are you doing over here? He actually fell down as if he got drop kicked and he got barely touched. But again, back to initial premises. I thought the refs handled it exactly perfectly. No way he was getting tossed for something weak like that, and Claxton should have gotten the technical, and it was perfect.
So I wildly disagree. I think this is obviously where it's unfortunate we can't play the video. To say that he hardly got touched is outrageous. And again, him falling was 100% expected because Joel Embiid kicked him. I mean, I honestly cannot believe that's your approach. If you would have said, listen, it's not that big of a deal. The idea that you're like, look, he actually hardly touched him is crazy. Like, the video clearly proves he did kick him. So there's that. And usually when you try and kick somebody, you get thrown out of the basketball game. That's usually how that goes. So now people are wondering, what's that going to mean for game four? We'll get to that in a minute. Claxton ended up getting ejected in this game because he was a part of the technical foul mess with Embiid on that play. And then Claxton dunked on Embiid and was given a technical foul for taunting. Now, honestly, I don't think we need to go back and forth on that. That's just officials, honest. I mean, let me be nice. It's bad, okay? Stop giving technical fouls for guys celebrating dunks. Nobody wants it. Nobody needs it. It does nothing. Claxton, though, probably does need to be a bit more cautious, having a technical foul on him already, but it absolutely stinks. We then get to the James Harden play. The James Harden play is one of the most puzzling things I've ever seen. I'm so glad I was able to hit my three-point prop, and because everyone would have been like, oh, you're angry because you lost your prop. No, I hit my prop. So I didn't need another minute from Harden. I cannot believe he was thrown out of this game. Harden said it perfectly. He goes, I didn't even think it was a foul. The fact that I was given a flagrant two and thrown out is unimaginable there. And again, I'm interested to see, because now I have literally no idea where you're going to land on any of this stuff here. What Harden did was nowhere in the same realm as what Joel Embiid did.
I don't think, and again, it should, if you wanted to just keep the game intact, because the one thing the referees do have to do is keep the game under wraps. You can't just have a game spiral out of the control where people think they can get away with anything. Now, it was ridiculous that James Harden got thrown out for that play. Even if you want to say to yourself and you go to the tape, like, hey, look, because let's equate it here. I know it's hard to do. James Harden makes that move and hits his, let's just say, hip. It's not a foul. Nobody cares. James Harden doesn't get a foul called against him or the other guy, and away we go on a play. He hit him in a sensitive area, which, again, I could see might elevate. It's like the same thing, Kevin, if you try to say, if you go up for a dunk, hey, I really tried to block your shot, but I made contact with your head. I didn't mean to do that technically, but right. I still did, and they're going to call a flagrant foul on it, right? That's the way I saw it. But I didn't feel the need in a playoff game to have an ejection for James Harden there. Now, they did give him the ejection. I thought it might have been a flagrant one just because you have to make the call. So you show the other team, like, even if you think they're getting away with cheap shots, they're not necessarily doing that because we're calling it. That's a flagrant. It's going to get some free throws, get you the ball back. Hey, guys, don't do it again. If he does it, we will throw him out of the game. But I thought that was a quick response to a game that might have been spiraling a little bit out of control with the physicalness of the game. But James Harden getting thrown. Like, imagine this, Kevin. Harden gets thrown and gets suspended for game four for that move. You're like, hold on now. Like, you're going to have to go back to the tapes on so many other games. We didn't need that to happen yesterday, and I didn't think it should have happened with an ejection.
So I don't think there's any world Harden misses game four. And I think it's way more likely they drop the flagrant penalty level on Harden, where the NBA comes out and be like, listen, we reviewed it. It shouldn't have been a flagrant two. It's a flagrant one. I shouldn't even have been a flagrant. If they wouldn't have called anything and Harden hit the three on Royce O'Neal as he was keeled over, I don't even think anything would have happened type of thing. It was stunning. Where the Harden stuff matters. Again, where the Harden stuff matters to me is as the NBA is making a decision here, I wonder if they factor in to the potential Joel Embiid suspension the idea that Harden was wrongfully thrown out of this basketball game. I don't know if that's how they're going to go about this, right? They're not going to publicly say that. They're not going to put out a statement saying we've decided to not suspend Embiid because Harden shouldn't have been ejected. But listen, you know, kind of the mind is going to work how it's going to work, and the logic is going to apply however they want it to. I think that could very well factor in. The reason I think Embiid is in line to potentially miss the game, and the odds for game number four are out right now. The Sixers are a 5.5-point favorite. That is a point bigger than they were here in game number four. So clearly the odds makers don't think Embiid's going to miss the game. But part of the reason that I think Embiid is in line is I thought that would be a flagrant two, and that would have been 2 minutes and 45 seconds into that basketball game Joel Embiid would have been thrown out. Basically, Embiid would have missed the entire game yesterday, and the fact that he did not could, again, I think, factor into the NBA's decision for what they do with Embiid for game number four.
Yeah, you open up a whole nother can of worms. If Joel Embiid is going to get thrown out or get basically suspended for one game, you better watch out the rest of the way through, because now the precedent will be set that anything sort of nonsense that goes on will amount into an ejection. Like, what happens if Steph Curry hits a three-point shot, holds up the three, somebody bumps into him? Oh, no, Steph was taunting. He should be ejected because he caused a melee on the court. I understand you have to call it, because this game was very physical and very chippy to begin with. That's what happens when a team that's not as talented as the other team tries to get an advantage and taunt your players to get a response. Mission accomplished. But the NBA's got to calm down. Can't be throwing people out of games here in the playoffs.
But again, and the odd thing is, we're talking about Harden being thrown out by the same crew that didn't throw Embiid out. I still can't believe that that's how that played out. We'll go back to the Western Conference now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Before we get over to Warriors-Kings, I guess I should just quickly hit on some of the specifics of Sixers-Nets beyond ejections, though that really... That is the headline, if you will, of this game, the Embiid non-ejection, the Harden ejection that ultimately played out here. And again, what you continue to see, the Sixers are far better. The Brooklyn Nets offense is completely unreliable. They scored 15 points in a fourth quarter. They lost the quarter by 11. I guess the relevant question would be, going into game number four, Embiid or not, do you fully trust the Sixers to close this game out? If Embiid does not play, Brooklyn then is going to have to employ an entirely different strategy. The way that they are just forcing Joel Embiid to have to live with not being the focus of the offense in every way imaginable and going out there and scoring 30 points. He scored 14 points last night. Joel Embiid is not one of the top three scorers in this series. Overall, it would be interesting to see how Brooklyn would adjust. Doc and the Sixers have not swept anybody during Doc's tenure in Philly. I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets grabbed the game here, but as I've been saying the whole time, the Sixers are significantly better, and again, that's true even if Joel Embiid did miss game four.
I think if Joel Embiid does miss game four, I do think the Sixers lose that game, because I think the mentality and the mindset changes a little bit from a Nets perspective. Hey, look, the best player maybe in the NBA is going to sit this game out. Let's see if we can give it a good, honest effort at home and see what happens. Same thing from a Sixers perspective. Oh, Joe's out? All right. Let's see what we got. But if not, we'll just close him out in game five in Philadelphia real quick and easy. But if Joel Embiid does play, it's like the Nets are like, well, what are we playing? We're going to win four straight games here? All right. Well, let's see if we get hot in the first quarter. But if we're losing, so be it. We'll be, in Cancun or golfing sooner than later at this point anyway. But I do think there's a realistic chance, if Embiid is suspended, which would be crazy, that the Sixers do lose game four.
I wonder what the spread would be. So 5.5 right now, you would imagine what? Philly minus two? Would you move it that much off of Embiid news? I don't think much more.
Sounds
I think
right.
That would, again, be your range. Look, I don't think it would be crazy. Partly because of how early in that basketball game he would have been ejected, I think is part of it, but maybe it's unlikely. And maybe they would say Embiid doesn't, by the way, have the history of Draymond Green. So we'll see where the equation ultimately checks in. We then go over to Golden State and Sacramento. One of the most important games the Golden State Warriors have played during this run in terms of, hey, if we don't win this game, the whole thing's over. They were down 0-2 for the first time during this Steph, Clay, Dre run, and they bounced back in their own building as they have done all season long. 33-8 at home during the regular season. They win their 34th game at Chase, 114-97. Steph was phenomenal in this game. 36 points, 6 made threes, a game-best plus 24. Really, as again, he's been throughout this entire series. They're constantly winning the Steph minutes. They did a nice job here in the non-Steph minutes. I know the final tallies will say that they were minus 7, but that's kind of skewed a little bit towards the end of the basketball game and when they pulled Steph out here. The Warriors get back home and without Draymond Green, handle their business. And Kevon Looney, by the way, had 9 assists kind of in that Draymond Green role, which was very impressive as well, including also 20 rebound performance there. Shout out to his 4 points, though. If you bet the double-double, just, I mean, the 9 assists, I guess, did flirt with that end result. The Warriors, though, now make this a 2-1 Sacramento series lead, and the Dubs definitely have taken some momentum back here overall.
Hey, it's been paint by numbers here for me in this series so far. I thought the Kings would win game one and game two just for the single fact is the Kings are good and the Warriors can't play on the road. But then again, yesterday it was like, hey, man, look at that. The Kings up 2-0. They can really take this series out. And I don't think any one of us, myself or yourself, actually blinked at the notion that we thought the Warriors might actually lose last night. That was a runaway victory where they won by 40 points. No, it wasn't. But that was a sound victory by the Golden State Warriors. And also, taking a look at some of the stats here, they were 40 of 100. They actually put up 100 shots. The Warriors in that game. And how about this? 50 of them from three-point range. So you look and you say, wow, look at that. Steph, 6 of 12. Clay even chipped in with 3. You know, Wiggins had 3 three-point shots made. Imagine if they actually get hot from three-point range when shooting 50 times. Like they go like 24 of 50, what that score is actually going to look like. But for myself, it was a calming influence there, just getting back in the building with your own fan base here. And I do think now, it's not so paint by numbers for me, Kevin. Game four, this is one of those where I'm really looking at going like, ooh, well, if you're the Kings, you really don't want to lose. But if you're the Golden State Warriors, you absolutely must win at home, knowing that you can barely win on the road. But getting back to this performance, this is what you expect out of your superstars. Did anybody look at this game and go, hey, I didn't think Steph was going to go off 36 points. He was the superstar that he was. I need something a little bit better from the Kings in game four here. I don't know what that's going to be if De'Aaron Fox has to go nuclear or just maybe Sabonis pops up with a 20-16-14, you know, night overall to get that W. But I was impressed by the Golden State Warriors. But then again, I expected it.
Yeah, I expected it as well. And not just expected it heading into the game, but I expected it before the series. I've talked about expecting a long series here the whole way. The Warriors have spent 82 games telling us exactly who they are. They are one of the best home teams in basketball. They're one of the worst road teams in basketball. I know it comes off like slander. I am finding some of the overreactions that we get on a game-to-game basis so funny, it's unimaginable. After two Sacramento wins and basically people saying, like, are the Warriors one of the worst teams in the NBA? The Warriors bounce back last night, get a win, and the conversation, Donnie, no joke from some people. Again, legitimately smart basketball minds. If Andrew Wiggins was healthy all year long, what seed do you think the Warriors are? Man, if you don't... Wiggins played 37 games and they were 19-18 in those games. And also, the whole Western Conference was injured. If you don't cut it out with this, man, what if Andrew Wiggins played all year long? Just relax. Relax, okay? The Warriors are going to be able to win their home games. The Kings are going to be able to win their home games. But to your point, we are now at a pivotal spot in this series where if Sacramento wins the next game, all of a sudden it's going to look like curtain for Golden State. They'll not only need to obviously win a game five on the road to keep the series alive, they're going to now need to win multiple games on the road in order to advance out of this series, which asks the question, who should be favored to win this series? The Warriors have flipped back to favorites, but at a minus 126 price. And I think what is now clear as day is that minus 275 number that existed pre-series, and you and I agreed on this when it came out, was not just a disrespectful number, it was a wrong number. It was a bad number. It was a disastrous number, in fact, by the books. If they were taking Kings bets, I guess. But if they were taking Warriors bets, then I guess good on them. But really, those were awful numbers here. I do still believe, though, that the Warriors should be favored in this series. Because the Warriors are monstrous favorites to win in game number four. And you look right now, that is an 8-point line, minus 350 money line for Golden State. Draymond Green will be back. And the Warriors winning a road game, just one, is still very in bounds for me here. I do believe that. And again, we talk about momentum. If the Golden State Warriors are able to win game four, which they're heavily favored to do, and I expect them to do, the momentum will belong to Golden State. Heading back to SAC is fine. I agree with the Warriors being favorites to win this series once again.
I know where you're going with this, where they're a slight favorite now, and maybe the betting public has a lot to do with that. But from me, myself, I don't think they should be the favorites. They can't win on the road. The other team, the Sacramento Kings, does win at home. They don't win on the road. Home court advantage is still in the Kings' favor. Like, even if the Warriors went out and had a 130-88 victory in game four, I'd still be saying to myself, you know what? I look at that price point, minus 126. And again, I think the Kings win this. I'm not betting that right now. Because you know what? It's a really good chance that the Warriors do win game four. And where does that line get? I mean, honestly, Kevin, does that number, if the Warriors at minus 126 down one game here, and you see a game coming up next in game four where the Warriors win, where it's 2-2, are the Warriors going back to a best of three with two games in the Kings building, essentially, and be a minus 200 favorite? That's ludicrous. Mm-hmm. So from a betting perspective, for me, I'm not betting the Kings right now, even though I think they win the series. I'm betting the Kings after game four, hoping the Kings get their doors blown off in game four. And then I'll come back on the Kings and we'll go, hey, look at that. Look at all the momentum that the Warriors have. Then the ball tips in Sacramento. We go, this team stinks on the road, man. Easy win by the Warriors. Or excuse me, easy win by the Kings.
Yeah, but that's the issue, the part where I'll disagree. The Kings haven't won either game in Sacramento easy. What the Warriors did last night, empty the bench, throw all the starters onto the bench and enjoy the final 5 minutes of the game. The Kings haven't been able to do that. Now, the Kings have been able to win their home games, right?
They'll win them. But
the Golden State Warriors have been able to win. The Warriors have outscored the Kings overall in this series despite losing two out of the three games. Because what the Warriors did last night was absolutely blast them. I actually believe the worry for me on Golden State is that they lose game four. Because Sacramento is the best road team in the Western Conference. The Sacramento Kings are shooting under 28% from three in this series, which is, this is one of the 10 best shooting teams in basketball throughout the season. You mentioned the Warriors shot 53s, right, DRS?
Yeah.
The Kings shot 47 last night, and they couldn't make any of them. If that Sacramento team comes out and makes 23s, the Warriors just might be dead to rights there. Maybe the Warriors could win a game five and extend it, but I agree with you in that Golden State winning multiple games in Sacramento does not feel plausible. But Golden State being able to win a game seven, right, with how tight these games in Sacramento have already been, I do think is reasonable. It's a tight line for a reason. Cannot wait to watch that game four, which Draymond will be back for. After this break, we get over to the Suns and the Clippers. Not just game three, but the future for LA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here on the early line. Again, yesterday in the NBA, I thought delivered as in terms of headline news as much as any so far in this postseason. The Sixers go up 3-0 on the Brooklyn Nets. Will Embiid be suspended for game number four? We saw the Warriors take a game back off of Sacramento. Can they regain some momentum and control in this series? They are an 8-point favorite in their upcoming game number four over the weekend. But not the biggest game, and part of the reason though I saved it for last year was Suns Clippers, because it has a lot to do with Phoenix and Phoenix moving forward in this postseason, and there's a lot to do with the Clippers and the Clippers moving forward beyond this postseason. To take it to this game, Phoenix wins 129-124 in a non-cover. Now, there are plenty of Suns backers that covered yesterday. If you got in early, from anywhere from your twos all the way up to, you know, two and a half and some threes. The next numbers, though, were far bigger as Kawhi Leonard missed this game. This game closed at 7.5. For the first time this postseason, a team won and did not cover, snapping an over 40-game postseason streak of the winning side being the covering side in NBA playoff basketball here. Part of it, DRS, to talk about is, you know, you and I are very accustomed to breaking games down without full information, doing the show as early as we do. So we always know when to give our listeners and watchers the warning label on games. There was not a single word about Kawhi Leonard missing this game, which is why yesterday morning you had full side, full props, full total, everything booked as if Kawhi Leonard was going to go out there and give you another 40 minutes of work, and then all of a sudden, no Kawhi. Out of nowhere, and the Suns find themselves as 7.5-point favorites.
Yeah. My same game parlay, which was a three-leg parlay, had Kawhi Leonard getting 25 points or more in that game. Now, it was kind of interesting in the afternoon where you see that happen and you say, whoa, you're right, 2.5, 3.5 off the board, 6.5, 7.5s right away. And my initial thought process behind that was, this is awesome. So Phoenix is going to win the game, which they did. But it's one of those vibes, Kevin, that I get because I see the score, I go over the box score, try to rationalize what happened. And I'm not all that happy because, again, I'm rooting for the Phoenix Suns with a ticket in my pocket to win the NBA championship. We'll see if they can do that. But this was one of those, good, I don't have to worry about this game. But even though they won the game and they had a lead into the fourth quarter, they needed a massive comeback in order to get this victory. And they still covered my 2.5 ticket, part of my two-leg parlay there for my same game parlay at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But I don't know if I'm getting great vibes out of this because I got 20 out of Kevin Durant. I got 45 out of Booker. And I look at this and go, boy, they single-digit win here. No Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George, which also brings me back to the other side. The reason why I liked Phoenix was because I knew I wasn't going to get a full-tilt Clippers team with Paul George probably missing at least a few games, and it looks like he's going to miss every game in this series. But it also gets me back to the point by going, what if the Clippers ever stayed healthy with their bench and their superstars, the damage that they could do? They were without their two top guns and took, from me, the most talented starting lineup in the NBA, basically to the wire again in a 2-1 series. I'm lucky that the Phoenix Suns aren't playing a full-glass Clippers team, but then again, would I have actually taken the Phoenix Suns to win it all? No. Because I tried to position it by saying, look, I think they're going to be able to beat them because they're a little bit shorthanded. But my goodness, they're getting a little bit more fight than I expected them to do, even without the two superstars.
Which is why I want to start with the Phoenix end of it, because the Clippers conversation is probably a longer one. And yeah. I your Phoenix bet made all the sense in the world. You got a good number on it. JY and I on Betting Above the Rim did our NBA brackets. We both thought the Suns would make the finals. I'm not going to start moving anything around, but I don't feel good about that. I don't know how you feel about your ticket. You know how to stay calm, though, in the face of things kind of struggling here. And I know that teams can kind of elevate for one game, usually. Like, if Kawhi doesn't play game four, they're going to hang this same 6 to 7.5 point line. Correct. And I actually think Phoenix would cover it. But the Phoenix Suns have been far from impressive in this series. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are playing 45 minutes a night. And Chris Paul, 40. And they can't separate from this Clipper team. Kawhi Leonard, when he was out there, was obviously the best player on the court. And Chris Paul looks a little shaky. And KD and Devin Booker are playing really, really well. Torrey Craig's all of a sudden a marksman. And the rest of the bet, I've never heard so many people say so many complimentary things about campaign. I mean, let's be respectful here, folks, but come on now. I mean, come on. Campaign's not around. And? I mean, stop the madness. So and we talk about health. So when you told me you bet the Suns to win the title, I said the one thing I do worry about is can that team go the full distance here? And I think you would agree that you are not happy that Devin Booker, KD, and CP3 are playing 40 minutes a night every single game, especially if this series, by the way, where we would have thought five games or less, right? If this is a 6-7 game series, and again, they're playing 45 minutes a game, they're going to have some real questions to answer heading into a potential series with the Denver Nuggets, who are massive favorites to not just move on in that series, but to move on in short order. The Phoenix Suns are one of those teams that are I'm losing confidence in as we play games throughout this postseason.
Yeah, the ebbs and the flows are going to come because you're right about that. Let's just say Kawhi does back from game four, excuse me, and the Phoenix Suns 125-111 win. Like, okay, we're back in effect. And also, the points you bring up are valid because I knew the starting lineup was going to be strong. It's very hard to say, hey, we're going to shut down both Booker and Durant, and they'll also have a legitimate center in DeAndre Ayton. I love the setup they have, and I knew their bench was weak, but also I know the playoff scheduling here. It favors teams that maybe don't have that extremely deep bench outside of injury. I'm just talking about gameplay. You play on a Monday, you play on a Thursday, you play on the following Monday. You get all of that time off. And also I use that for the Phoenix Suns to sort of acclimate to the process, be in the room together for days at a time here, practicing on the basketball court. You're getting 2 and 3 practices in between games and then getting to play the game and then resting another 2 or 3 days before you play. Regular season, not as much. That's why, hey, this guy's going to sit out. This guy's going to take a maintenance day. You don't get that in the NBA playoffs. And that's the reason why if you would have told me right now, Kevin, before the season started, you're going to be 2-1 advantage for the Phoenix Suns. Like, perfect. That's exactly where I want it to be. But it is interesting, as you bring up, because you do have those ebbs and flows. It's not an 82-game season anymore, right? We're just in the playoff run where I'm up 2-1, got a victory on the road in the NBA playoffs, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. I certainly don't feel great about it. I like it because I have a ticket, and yes, that means you have a commanding lead in the series. You should win it, but it's not the confidence level that I have now where, because if you would have told me, like, Joel Embiid, 14 points, hey, Sixers won again, I'm like, you know what? I think that's actually a pretty good sign where they're winning without their big guns. They're winning, talking about the Suns, with Booker playing 45 minutes, as you said, and dropping 45 points and needing every bit of that. That's the alarming point to me.
They shot 46 free throws. They shot 46 free throws in that game, and they couldn't pull away from Norman Powell, who gave him 42 in that starting lineup, made seven now threes. Russell Westbrook turned the clock back. 30-12-8, and did it well. It didn't need to take 35 shots to go out there and win the game. But to take this to the Clippers end of it, so I don't mean to victory lap on a player's injury. We all would rather see the best players out there. But yesterday I went on with Ben to do some morning after, and they posed the question, if the Clippers get past this round, should they be favorites in the West? And I chuckled at the notion. As I said, look, I know everyone's going to say, oh, here comes Paul George and the Clippers are unbeatable. And forget about the fact that healthy Kawhi and healthy PG lost to the Denver Nuggets despite having a 3-1 series lead. Kawhi Leonard doesn't have the juice to go on a full, legitimate, deep run again, is what I told Ben. And nobody even knew at the time Kawhi was injured. That is the thing here. We've talked about this on this show, start to finish. The Clippers are always booked like they're healthy when they never are. When they never are. It took the Paul George injury to pull back some of the Clippers numbers. And if by chance they do win this series, which again, I don't think they will, we're going to get to next round. I have no idea if Kawhi's going to be there. And let's just say Kawhi is. Do you have any confidence he'd be available for the Western Conference Finals? Do you have any confidence that either one of them would be available for the NBA Finals? I mean, this team's going to go on some crazy run, and it's going to be Norman Powell and Russell Westbrook against whoever comes out of the East because they can't stay healthy. And I have no idea what the Clippers are meant to do. Because they can't compete with the Suns reasonably over the course of a series here without playing Kawhi 40 minutes, right? But what are you going to play Kawhi 20 minutes? Do you send Kawhi back out there and just... he gets hurt again? Can Kawhi only play 2 or 3 games out of a 7-game set? He's their best player. And when Kawhi's healthy, he's one of the best players in basketball still, is what we've seen. But in terms of pure value, the old cliche, availability is the best ability. It's not, listen, sometimes it's not the best ability, but it's real, real important. And unfortunately for the Clippers, Kawhi cannot go out there and carry that old school workload. So now they're left here, Donnie. And again, even if when this series is over, right, people are going to say, Well, what did you want him to do? They didn't have Paul George. They didn't have Kawhi Leonard. That has been the answer at the end of all of their time in Los Angeles, outside of when they blew a 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets, is, oh, well, they didn't have PG, or they didn't have Kawhi, or they didn't have both. This is the normal for the Clippers here. So at some point, you can't keep throwing your hands up and saying, what do you want us to do? You have to change course somewhere.
You do have to change course somewhere, and changes are probably coming for the Clippers. We'll see, but let's get back to what Kawhi Leonard means for the rest of this series. If you're taking a look at a Ja Morant injury, right? Hey, I just can't grip the basketball. There's no broken bones, but hopefully it's getting better day to day here. Okay, Giannis misses a game. Why? Because he cracked down on his back. It was really sore, flaring up on him. They want to get the swelling down, but we expect him to be back. A knee injury for Kawhi Leonard already in the middle of a series? That doesn't bode well, Kevin, because I think you said it best is Kawhi can't come off the bench and give you 11 minutes and like, you know what, that's going to help us win. When Kawhi is the focal point, lockdown defense, running the offense through him and making clutch shot after clutch shot, that's how the Clippers would be best served here if they want to win this series. If Kawhi is 75%, they're not going to win. If Kawhi is 65%, they're not going to win. He needs to be the best player on the court to give the Clippers even a chance at victory. I wouldn't be surprised, Kevin, to be honest, if we don't see him in game four, and then they probably go, well, his offseason's coming up. Let's see if we can steal one. And then maybe if he comes back for game six. Do you see where I'm going with this? And also, when you're talking about injuries and Kawhi Leonard, good luck finding the results of what you think is going to happen. Because if anything tells us, the minute something is wrong with Kawhi, that's a couple months.
Look, at the top hour two, we're going to try and guess, you know, do we think Ja plays? Do we think Giannis plays? Waste of time to ask with Kawhi. The last time Kawhi got a knee injury in the postseason, we thought he'd be back in 2 days, and it turned out he had a torn ACL and missed all of next season. So I have no idea. But listen, to what you just said there, and it's reasonable, rational logic of, look, man, you know what? We're going to get to the offseason, and we'll get him next year. And Donnie, they're going to get him next year. They're going to be booked like the third best team in the West. And
Six
what's going to happen?
Of the year.
Kawhi's injured. Remember that thing? And that was some of the
Come
conversations
the
I heard yesterday from people. Hey, you think Kawhi can transition to sixth man of the year? 48 hours ago, Kawhi Leonard was being called the best player in the NBA. And now we're asking the sixth man of the year. Insanity. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here. Big issues to get to. And since we were just talking about Suns Clippers, I figured why not keep it in the desert? Right?
Uh-huh.
The Arizona Cardinals yesterday released some new jerseys. DRS, you're my go-to jersey guy. Mainly because I enjoy how I don't know if ever a team has unveiled new jerseys, and I've heard you have one complimentary word. Your thoughts on the new threads for Arizona.
It's very simple. Now, we're going to clown on these and have some fun with it, but there's one rule of thumb in the NFL when you know you did it wrong, Kevin, right? If you have to put the name of your team on the uniform as like the centerpiece, that means you're asking for attention. Like, we're so far under the radar that if we put these uniforms out here where it's just red, nobody will even know who we are or what we're doing on the football field. So you have to put Arizona out there. It's my one thing that I look at the Jets and go, hey, I like the color scheme, but why does it say New York on the nameplate there? You don't need it here. Now, secondarily, if you did this, and we talked about this over one of the breaks, the uniform where they say new threads, and if you saw that up on the TV side here, if the Cardinals opened up 2023 and were like, you know what? We're going to surprise everybody with these new uniforms and not tell anybody about it, Kevin. Nobody would even have known that they actually changed their uniforms. That's how ridiculous is this. Schefter put out the tweet, new threads, and I think every single person looked at it and goes, it looks almost identical to what you just had. What are we actually doing here, it feels like?
The thing that I don't like when they do the new jerseys, again, to your point, is go wild. go wild. Do something extreme. Seahawks get a wild. Yellow alternate in there.
Yeah.
Like, go nuts, okay? Like, either really upset people or, like, do something cool. Don't make it to your point where it's like, hold on, is that just the same jerseys they wore last year, but they slapped Arizona on? By the way, I like that only one of the jerseys says Arizona.
Yes.
It's just.
The other ones,
yeah,
you know it's
not
Arizona.
Strong.
You just don't know the red one.
Not
yet.
Strong. Not strong. We'll be right back.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.